This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Approximately 7 or 8 years ago, I received a message from a college student who had just entered law school. And her message, to summarize, she said her entire life was about getting into law school. Her parents emphasizing for her to have this amazing, remarkable career. Her friends all on the same track, some in law school, medicine, other fields as well. She studied really hard. She made it into the program she wanted. And then she was caught cheating on an assignment and threatened with a suspension, or rather, sorry, an expulsion. She would be expelled from the program if the investigation went through and she was in fact concluded to have been cheating. And she would be basically expelled from the school with some marks on her academic record. So she can't apply again. She can't get into another law program. She said, I feel up to this point that everything about my life was to have this career. And now I feel like my life has no meaning. I feel like I have no purpose. Everything that I identified with is gone. What am I supposed to do with my life? And my friends are all continuing. My family, it has expectations. This is what I felt defined me. And now I feel like I have nothing. And it's very interesting when these types of questions arise, and they are common, and oftentimes they are not posed, but they are internalized by many people. It's very important for us to always go back to the foundation of what really gives us value and gives us meaning. Our topic today is your life has meaning. Your life has meaning, but that meaning should never be attached to a very small, temporary, worldly plan. It should never be attached to a material thing that you identify with having a particular career. Yes, you may have that career in life and you're known for such and such job or such and such specialization. You maybe are a mother or a father. You are raising a child. Maybe you're single. Maybe you're married. But all of these worldly states that we go through and worldly things we encounter and worldly things we are tested with of blessings and wealth, they do not give us meaning. And the reason we emphasize they don't give us meaning is not to take away something that you find fulfilling, but rather to say these temporary things that we have could be a milestone and could be one form of pursuing the greater purpose in life, could be one way to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that yes, through your job, you want to serve a particular purpose through the raising of a child, through your marriage and other things that you may experience, that you want the pleasure of Allah. But when that thing is taken away from you, it does not take away your identity or your value. It does not take away your purpose in life. So for someone who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to think, now what is my life worth? Now what value do I have? Wallahi, you have the most noble value. And the most beautiful thing about this value that you have and this purpose and higher calling that you have is that it cannot be taken away from you. It's a choice that you make. It's not a material thing. It's not your job or your studies. It's not your marital status. It's not a child or no child. Those things give us fulfillment and they are blessings from Allah and they are trials. But as we all know, they are temporary things as a part of our journey in this life. And it's okay and encouraged to pursue these things for the sake of Allah. But do not attach your entirety of value and self-worth and purpose in life to these things, because at times when these things are taken away for whatever reason, you should not then think and say, I have no purpose and my life has no purpose anymore. Wallahi, your life always has purpose. But you have to fulfill that greater purpose. And really, when we take a step back, we all know as believers, when you take a step back and you look at the larger circle of life, the entirety of your life really is for Allah. The entirety of why you exist should be for the sake of Allah. As for every worldly thing in this world, everything we experience in this life, they come and they go. They're impermanent. They are temporary. And we all have different circumstances. We all have different trials. We all have different journeys. So what gives life meaning is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His mercy, out of His mercy, told us about. Not only is it your natural disposition, your fitrah, to know that it's not about physical or material things or desires, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, created us as human beings with free will, with a trial, and sent a messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a message that is timeless and preserved until the end of times, making it so simple and clear a young child can understand it, making it so simple and clear you can always reflect on it. I exist, we exist for the sake of Allah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verse we all hear often, and I did not create the jinn and mankind except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The one who created death and life, he brought you into existence out of nothing in order to test you, to see who's best in their actions. Your actions, your ibadah cannot be taken away from you. So your value, your self-worth, your identity, your purpose is so magnificent and remarkable and greater than any worldly thing, but also it cannot be taken away from you. That's a choice we all have to make, to stay connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oftentimes when you think of the idea of a mission, that you're focused on one main thing, and obviously along the way there are many other things we experience, we're here on a mission. And we should reflect on that often. We are here on a mission and we have very limited time. We are here to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our values, our morals come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are factual, they are objective. You automatically have value and purpose no matter what happens in this life, no matter what hardships you go through. But if your heart starts to become attached to something worldly and you become distant from Allah and you no longer are fulfilling the actual purpose that you were created for, and then that material thing is taken away, then you might start to suffer emotionally and mentally and wonder, why am I here? What is my life worth anymore? What will people say? When in reality, none of those things really matter at the end of the day. Yes, we pursue well-being and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to ask, for afiyah, for well-being in this life and in the next life. We ask for goodness, we ask for all that is beneficial. But at the end of the day, your purpose is connected to Allah. So always channel your emotions back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of the early generations, he said, may Allah grant mercy to some people who use this life as if it was a loan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entrusted them with their souls, with their time, with their lives. And then he says they gave it back to him, the one who entrusted it to them. And they went away, they departed, they died with a very light weight, meaning they had no burden on the day of judgment to deal with sinfulness and consequences of their actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us so that our hearts and our minds are not distracted. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. What you have with you is going to disappear. And what Allah has is eternal, it's lasting. What this means is everything you have of a dunya will end. What Allah has, subhanahu wa ta'ala, of reward for you is lasting. So seek that which is permanent over that which is temporary. Strive with your priorities, with your day-to-day balance of your job and your work and your family and your children and everything else. Strive to ensure that your heart is prioritizing that which is lasting over that which is temporary. And if you look at the psychological impact of thinking this way, we start to realize very quickly that emotionally, psychologically, mentally, in terms of our states, when we attach ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to actions, deeds that have an eternal return, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all an abundance of good deeds and protect us from sinfulness and forgive us, Allahumma ameen. When your heart is attached to that which is permanent, your heart starts to have a tranquility and a peace that cannot be attained through anything that is temporary, anything that is material. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. You will experience stage upon stage. In the detailed tafsir and commentary and tadabbur on this ayah, we find a number of beautiful observations that help us. They liberate us from being shackled to something that is temporary or something of this world. That you will experience everything of this life, but it will always be temporary. And we're not just talking about the minor things. You're a child, you grow older, you're an adult, you go through experiences, a child, you see them develop as they start to learn to talk and walk and all of this. And as you go through stage and season of life, replacing the last season, you know no season of life is permanent. You know no stage is permanent. What you have today is not always going to be there. The people around you and your own life experience will not always be the way it is today. And that reminder, frankly, is constantly surrounding us. It should not frighten us. In fact, when we embrace this reality, we're liberated, we're detached from ad-dunya. This is a type of zuhud, a type of asceticism where you are not renouncing the world, but it's not controlling your heart. You're not identifying with it. Everything we have now is temporary. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. When you attach your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you realize even that major stage of life, meaning life itself, will depart and will be replaced with a permanent life, will be replaced with an eternal journey, an eternal place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a place of peace. Allahumma ameen. And when we think about that departure again, it should not frighten us to the point where we are uncomfortable dealing with it. Rather, channel that discomfort towards preparation for what's coming next. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the most intelligent of people is the one who controls himself or herself, meaning they hold themselves accountable. وَعَمِلَ لِمَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. And they prepare for what comes after death. That's wisdom. And foolishness is for you to follow your desires with no boundaries. وَتَمَنَّ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And then to have false hopes in Allah. This is the example of someone who plants a seed expecting a particular type of tree. You ask, what did you plant? He says, an orange tree. What are you expecting? A banana. What do you mean? You planted something completely different. You did not study for a single exam or complete a single requirement for your university class. Did you really have false hopes that somehow you're going to get 100% in this class? Absolutely not. With ad-dunya, we don't do this. So then why with the greater purpose, with life itself, with a reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for, do we plant false hope thinking what? Everything will just be okay. I'll just be forgiven. I don't need to worry about it. I'll become religious later. I'll repent later. I'll change my life later. When we know that if we're planting the wrong thing today, we are going to be repaid for what we planted. And in the final revelation, the last ayah to be revealed, ayah 281 of Surah Al-Baqarah, according to Ibn Abbas, this was revealed 9 nights before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a summary of the entirety of the purpose of life. And a final reminder, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Be mindful, prepare for the day in which you shall indeed return to Allah. ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. Every soul will be repaid for what it did. And no one will be treated with injustice. No one will be treated unfairly by Allah. You'll be given what you worked for. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in goodness. One time, the same scholar, Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, was in the graveyard with some companions of his. And as they were about to leave, he gave a beautiful short reminder. He said, may Allah have mercy on the man who works for the likes of this day. For today, you are able to do what these brothers of yours, the residents of the graves, cannot do. So make full use of your health and your free time before the day of distress and accountability comes upon you. In the very next ayah, in the surah that we were referencing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيَيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Whoever does good, whether male or female, and is also a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will surely bless them with حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. And if you look at the commentary of these two words, حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا, a good life, it has several connotations, several understandings. One of the reports from Ali radiallahu anhu is that this means you will be content in life. You'll be happy with what you have. Another of the meanings is general happiness, as-sa'ada. Another of the meanings is for you to be content with good deeds and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala links in this ayah two things. He links al-amal al-salih, the righteous action that you do, with a good life, with happiness, with contentment. A good life does not necessarily mean a lot of wealth. For you might have wealth and be the most depressed of people. You might have wealth and never be happy and satisfied with what you have. There are people who have a lot of money and we all know they're not satisfied. They're always looking for the next thing. And also they're always increasing their expenses, so they're always feeling like they're on the edge of poverty. And other people have a lot less and they are content. They are satisfied with what Allah gave them. And the reality is, the pursuit of a good life, at the end of the day, is what most people are after. But sometimes they look for it in the wrong things. Sometimes people look for happiness in material things and they're never content. They're looking at someone who has more. She has this and he has that. And they're watching and following people on social media and TV shows and reality shows. People are showing off worldly things. And this person always feels what? I'm not happy with what I have. I want more. And the reality is, you'll never feel content if you're always looking at someone who has more and wishing you have that rather than being grateful for what you have and looking at those who have less than you. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us in an authentic report from Amr ibn As radiyallahu an, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Qad aflaha man hudiya ila al-Islam." He has truly succeeded, the one who was guided to Islam and is content with the rizq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. And the reality is, once again, people are given so many blessings and they don't have gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they end up finding depression through those things rather than happiness and contentment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, guide us, forgive us, and elevate our ranks. Indeed, in our religion, we emphasize that we can never lose hope. Hopelessness is not a part of Islam. Because so long as your heart is attached to the purpose of life, you know that you have value that cannot be taken away. You know you have something to be content with that cannot be taken away by other human beings. And if you feel like even that is not something you have choice over, the reality is we cannot blame other people. You cannot fault other people for not pursuing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't even fault your own parents if they did not raise you upon Islam or righteously. You can't blame them. Because we all get to a certain point in life in which we really have to be responsible for all of our actions. And the longer we blame society or people or friends or parents, the longer it's going to take us to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and really accept responsibility for the actions that we are doing. So glad tidings to those who fulfill the purpose of life. Glad tidings to those who fulfill the purpose of life. Glad tidings to those who fulfill the purpose of life and those who repent and seek to fulfill it today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَأَن لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. The human being will not have except that which he or she used to strive for. Your actions matter. What do you rush towards? At the very beginning of this pandemic, we saw in 2020, when people felt a sense of urgency and fear, people were rushing to certain things. People were rushing to buy certain supplies and sources and so on and so forth. The fear and the reality of death makes us act, causes us to take action, which is why it's embedded in Islamic theology. It's embedded in every juz of the Quran, a reminder that we are mortal, that we will leave, that we will depart. And it's not a sad one. It's one that should cause us to channel that reminder into something of productivity. The Quran is all action-based. There's an internal action of the heart, and then there's the external action. But very few times do you see an emphasis only on you claiming to be something righteous and then not acting upon it. Very few times will you ever see a reference to a parent advising their child, but then the parent is not acting upon it. The reality is we need to be a people of action. And as we see reminders every day of people departing before us, our brothers and our sisters locally and all around the world, our relatives and our loved ones, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on them. We need to take action. And we need to be really conscious and mindful of that action because we have limited opportunities, limited time. So if you're wasting that time, you're missing out on something greater. If you're distracted, you're missing out on something greater, something that is lasting. Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he says, how strange is it that person whose departure, meaning from this world to the next, has been announced and whose predecessors, the people before, have departed and this person is still playing around. This person's still wasting time. This person's still killing time. How strange is it to kill your time when you know you're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And as we work hard and we strive, there's a time for this and a time for that. There's a time to rest and socialize with family. And there's a time to strive in certain ibadat. But don't ever get too confident or too proud of the good that you've done. But rather keep moving forward knowing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly in the Quran is giving us promises that are linked to the actions that we perform in this world. That is the promise of Allah, and the promise of Allah is always true. The promise of Jannah. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he says, there is no true comfort or rest, raha, for the believer until he meets Allah. Yes, this life is difficult. Yes, this life requires a lot of striving, but there's a lot of good we have to focus on. And the difficulty itself should be something we find sweetness through. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for relief and for well-being for us and our brothers and sisters around the world. Just remember at the end of the day, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the authentic hadith, where are my servants who worship me without ever seeing me? O people of Jannah, where are my servants who worship me without ever seeing me? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, forgive us, and elevate our ranks, and forgive us for all of our shortcomings. Seek forgiveness from Allah. He is the ever merciful, the oft forgiving. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. If you feel disconnected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know that as you look into the Quran, know that it always requires you to take some action. If you want to feel connected to Allah, it starts with you turning to Allah, you raising your hands. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises, if you raise your hands and you call upon Him, He will respond. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises, you take one step towards Him, He takes many towards you. You walk towards Him, He runs towards you in His own way, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, you turning to Allah is the first step. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already turned to you. He's already welcoming you. He's already waiting for you. So if you feel disconnected from Allah and you feel distant, you feel like you're struggling with the purpose of life, you feel like you're struggling with many distractions in this world or many temptations or any other hardship, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consistently. And if you don't know what to do and where to start, start with dua. Start with just calling upon Him. Emptying your heart out. Fears, empty your heart out. Temptations, Ya Allah, help me. Your weaknesses, call upon Him and ask Allah for strength, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us after the incident of Ta'if. So call upon Allah and ask for help. Ask for guidance. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance as well and clarity about what to ask for. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the purification of the heart. At the very least, Allahumma aslih qalbi. Oh Allah, purify my heart. Correct my affairs. There was a scholar of recent times, Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah. One of our teachers who studied with him, he said one time some students came to ask him a question, maybe in his office or in a room, and he was making dua. And he didn't notice that they had come. He maybe did not hear them. So he's making dua. He was alone. And so when they entered and he was making this dua, they waited a few moments thinking it was temporary, and it seemed like he kept repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. So the students left their room. They came back in a long time after this, and he was still making the same dua. So we asked the teacher, what was the dua that he was making? He said, Allahumma aslih qalbi. Oh Allah, purify my heart. Oh Allah, purify my heart. If your heart is purified, your spiritual heart is purified, you will find contentment, and as well it will purify your actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our hearts and guide us and forgive us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who are constantly seeking to fulfill the purpose of life. I do have an advice here for all parents and all soon-to-be parents, inshallah ta'ala. Remember how important it is to emphasize, as we emphasize to our children in abundance, to have good grades and aim for a good career or whatever else we aim for. And it's good to have high standards. I don't feel like that is a reminder that we are always in need of. In fact, that's usually the default. Emphasize to them that what gives them value and purpose and worth is their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost. What gives them purpose is not whether or not they failed an exam. Yes, they should aim not to fail. But that does not define who they are. That does not define their entirety of life. For there are many youngsters, there are many youth who have lost their lives or taken their lives because the only thing they thought about their identity and their self-worth was their success in a material state or the hardships that they are going through. And it was never embedded in them or enough emphasized within them that what gives you value is your relationship with Allah, and that's a choice you can always make. So if you feel disconnected from Allah, you can turn to Him today. The pursuit of Jannah is one that does not end. And our lives are entrusted to us. Our children are entrusted to us. And one of the greatest rights that children have upon their parents is not for you to tell them get a 4.0 and become a successful lawyer or doctor. That's great, alhamdulillah. But one of the greatest rights in Islam that our children have upon us is that you teach them what the purpose of life is, not once or twice, but throughout their lives. That you emphasize it and you showcase it as a role model as well. Because there are many people who are struggling mentally and emotionally, young and old, because this is not embedded within them. So I encourage myself and everyone here for us to be a little more supportive and vocal and reminding ourselves and others about why we are here, why we exist, what our mission is, and what gives us value. Because at the end of the day, once again, your calling is not a worldly thing. That could be a goal, that could be a milestone towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your calling is la ilaha illallah. Your calling is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your calling is to worship the one who created you. And that mission does not end until our last breath. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us fulfillment as believers and protect those who are struggling mentally and emotionally all around the world. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for all of our shortcomings and make us a source of guidance and optimism and hope for others. Allahumma ameen.